Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Creamer Law, Business Law, CreamerLaw.com. And Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do. DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
It is the Business News Hour, the only long-form business news broadcast in the Midwest, and we are grateful that you guys have found us as you wind your way home on this Thursday afternoon. With us in studio is the Executive Director of the Iowa Chamber Alliance, and we're going to talk about what exactly that is in just a moment. His name is John Steinman, and earlier today, about 10:30 this morning, as a matter of fact, they had a press release. The media was invited to attend at the Mercy Campus downtown at the Holiday Inn, talking about legislative priorities for 2017. And, of course, the legislators will all gavel in here pretty soon, and we'll all have a big party. They're back. They're back. John, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
So let's talk about what is the Iowa Chamber Alliance first.
Sure. The Iowa Chamber Alliance is a coalition of the 16 largest chamber and economic development organizations from all across the state. So when you think about the Greater Des Moines Partnership or the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce, those are the members of the Iowa Chamber Alliance. Iowa's a bit unique in that we don't have a statewide chamber in the traditional sense.
Right.
We kind of have three different business voices. So you have the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, which is the biggest and oldest. You have the Iowa Business Council, which is the leaders of the largest employers. And then you have the Iowa Chamber Alliance. And each kind of has their own focus. The Chamber Alliance, we really focus on big picture issues, and we focus on economic growth and economic development policy.
Excellent. I got a press release earlier today. We should have had it on the newscast earlier. The Greater Des Moines Partnership grew by another couple of entities.
Yeah, I heard that was happening, but I can't speak to the specifics. But the partnership's a thriving organization.
The fourth largest chamber organization in the United States, we understand.
And one of the founders of the U.S. Chamber in Washington.
There you go. See? It all comes around, right?
That's right.
All right. So let's talk about these legislative priorities. The headline indicates tax reform and a better business environment is what the Business Council is talking about, the Iowa Chamber Council. That hasn't changed, has it, over the years?
No. Year to year, we might have different areas of emphasis. In the past couple of years, we've really put workforce first. But we always try to put our initiatives and our priorities into the context of the political scene. And so we felt like with every election, there's an opportunity to do different kinds of things, whether you have divided control or fully aligned control, one party or the other.
Sure.
There's always opportunities to get things done. Sometimes there are things you have to, try to ward off as well. But we felt like in the wake of the 2016 elections, we have a pretty unique opportunity to really move the needle on tax reform. So we elevated that.
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about is tax reform. What is fair and competitive tax reform look like?
Sure. And to some degree, that's in the eye of the beholder. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I'm asking you.
Sure. So what we've found, and we've commissioned studies. A couple of years ago, we released a study that we commissioned from Deloitte, the national consultants. And they really tried to unwind what our tax situation is. And their conclusion was that when you get right down to it, Iowa's taxes aren't all that uncompetitive. But it's nearly impossible to arrive at that conclusion because they're so complex. And so really, we have a very big complexity issue that is impeding our growth. And we need to focus on getting our taxes to a simpler format that is more understandable and, frankly, more marketable. Currently, you have on the business side of income tax, you have six different brackets that you're taxed at a different rate at each level on the way up. As we've developed this system over 4 or 5 decades, then there are a lot of accommodations that come around just to try to survive in that environment. And now we have to unwind those as we go about it. I would say the single biggest objective is we have to find a way to simplify, but we have to be careful to not inadvertently take any steps backward for a class of taxpayers.
Well, there are some real concerns with the budget here in Iowa. We haven't made as much money, the state hasn't, as what we had in the past. And so that all brings about the scary conversations about, well, cuts in education, cuts in social programs, cuts in road building and cuts in infrastructure and those types of things, while we still tend to, and we carry these stories every single week, shovel basketfuls of money to already successful companies, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, all of these companies, in order for them to create 39 or 40 jobs at $28 an hour. So, and I get it. I really do get it. But I know that that's one of those underlying things that people talk about. So, wait a minute, I can't get a loan for my business, but yet there's a lot of money going out from the Iowa Development Authority.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Explain that.
Because the incentives, they are sometimes difficult to explain in a short form. And here's the reality is the vast majority of Iowa's economic development tax incentives are based upon back end that you did what you said you were going to do. So it's kind of a but-for proposition. If you don't deliver on your promise, then you're not going to be able to take advantage of a tax credit. You wouldn't have earned a profit in order to capitalize on that. If it was in the form of a loan or a cash award and you didn't honor what you said you'd do, the state's going to come back and try to claw
sure,
that money back.
Mm-hmm.
But we also look at things, and you mentioned a couple in the data processing centers that are, you're right, they don't yield as many jobs. But let's take a step back from that. If you're talking about projects that are in the order of magnitude of, you know, $1 billion, $2 billion of capital investment, and you're looking at a multi-year construction, and you're looking at what that economic impact is.
The trickle down from that very construction opportunity.
It's thousands of jobs, high-paying construction jobs, that also pumps money into those communities that are in those areas. If you think about the fertilizer plants on either side of the state that have received awards, where the number of construction jobs is literally in the thousands over the course of 2, 3, 4 years, that has an impact on Main Street in those communities. So it's easy to look at it and say, oh, well, we're just giving away cash to these big companies. We're not. We're incentivizing their activity by rewarding their behavior on the back end if they did what they said they were going to do. And we're inciting that economic activity that benefits all the way down the economic chain, and most particularly to Main Street.
One of the things, John Steinman is with us. We're talking about the Iowa Chamber Alliance and their wish list for the Iowa legislature. We're kind of spending a lot of time on taxes right now because that's kind of a hot topic. We had a story yesterday about the Trump plan for taxes mm-hmm. here in the United States and where that might go, which is also very interesting. We had a CPA on talking about that impact, especially to regular folks.
Sure.
And that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. But here in Iowa, I'm glad to hear that you said that, you know, we're not that uncompetitive in our tax situation. It is a little unwieldy. I'll agree with you on that. The other thing that I think is really important for people to understand is that do businesses pay taxes? I mean, there are all kinds of opportunities for us to, because I'm a business owner myself, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's all kinds of ways for us to not have to pay taxes. Because if you have a good accountant,
if you have a good accountant, you can certainly, manage that.
Manage that. There you go.
But I would say that I think it would be a pretty exceptional event for a company to be in a position where it just plain doesn't pay taxes at some level. And here's why. Even in a situation where a company, let's take the for instance of the research activities credit, where we're incentivizing high-level, high-paying jobs that have a very demonstrated downstream economic impact. Those companies actually, they get a tax credit to the point that if their tax credits exceed their tax liability, they actually get a check.
Right.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Now, that can seem really off-putting. But those same companies are putting in massive capital investment. They're paying massive property taxes. They're paying massive sales taxes. They're paying taxes on different levels of consumables in their manufacturing processes. There's no way they're not paying taxes. So
it's just in a different area.
That's right. Yeah. And I would also say that that's very much the exception, not the rule, with respect to income taxes. So businesses pay taxes just like individuals pay taxes. And if you're not, it's because you lost a great deal of money.
Yeah. Tell me, I've been there before, too, myself. John Steinman, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Iowa Chamber Alliance. When we talk about rural redevelopment.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that, you know, we're blessed here in the greater Des Moines metro because we are growing like leaps and bounds. But other communities, and I would point to our friends up in the Sioux City area, outside of that area a little bit, but particularly places like Jefferson, and Jefferson just came into the partnership, as a matter of fact. But we take a look at maybe Fort Dodge or some of the smaller mid-sized communities that have been struggling lately, and then you go outside of their area, and it's really tough. What does business and the Alliance have to say about rural redevelopment of some kind?
Yeah, and I'm really glad you brought it up. It's a discussion that we need to be having as a state. I grew up in Spirit Lake,
sure,
up in the Minnesota line, up in northwest Iowa, in a small town, but, you know, fun in the summer. When I drive back there to see family and friends, that's not a terribly uplifting drive. There are a lot of the tiny towns that used to stop in to get a cup of coffee that you can't even do that anymore. And it's discouraging. But we have to have a conversation about what we're going to do as a state to really work towards some rural revitalization. And one of the things that we're looking at and having conversations with other organizations and policymakers about is how could we take some of the existing tools that we have in economic development and make them a little bit more accessible in these rural areas that have been hardest hit.
Mm-hmm.
What you'll find when you drive across Iowa is that a lot of these kind of regional hub cities, like a Carroll or a Waverly, are doing really quite well. But when you get down to these very small communities under a couple thousand, they're having a very hard time.
Yeah, you know.
And if you're under 1,000, you're wondering at what point they just, you know, dry
close
up and blow away.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be looking for ways that we can give them more tools and a way to capitalize on opportunities that they can conjure so we can have that rural growth. We're all in it together.
Well, we really are. And there's been a couple of interesting proposals floated out there. I know we don't have a whole lot of time. I wish we had you for the hour because I think this is really a seminal conversation about a whole lot of things. But when we talk about rural repopulation and regrowing rural Iowa, we do have some technological opportunities out there with high tech. If we could get really high speed broadband internet out there and we could increase the opportunities in many of these small communities. You go to southwest Iowa in many of those towns. It's pretty tough.
It's true.
It's pretty tough. But, you know, to put together a think tank to really address those areas.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And the infrastructure for broadband is important. We have to continue to make sure that we have the farm-to-market road system that's in place. You know, we have a tremendous – our natural resource, our asset is our soil. Okay.
And it would be nice to keep more of it.
Well, that's true, too. But we don't have, you know, we don't have something, mineral-based revenue for the state coffers off of our soil. So, like, Texas gets a lot of money for its state and its higher education through oil and gas, and the Dakotas for oil and gas and mining. We don't have anything like that in our soil. But we do have a consistent economic performer there, and so between our ag and our heavy equipment manufacturing that's very ag-based. We need to capitalize on opportunities like that. We need to capitalize on our life science opportunities. Those don't all have to take place in larger communities or even research university.
Not now.
They don't.
Right.
And so we have to make those opportunities available everywhere. We also have to look at, you know, what can we do to make it more attractive for folks to come back home? And we also need to be, in my opinion, really open to new Americans. If you look at the last 20 years, but for immigrants, Iowa would be a net population loser.
Right.
We should be looking at what's our opportunity to attract immigrants and how we could capitalize on
that. And that is a really interesting conversation to have in light of some of the political discourse. And we don't do politics on the NewsHour, thank goodness. You know, some of the political discourse that's out there about immigration. And what do we do to not only celebrate that, but lift that up? And then, as you say, we would have been a population negative state had it not been for an influx of people. And you know, that's another disconcerting thing to many people. The topography, but the makeup of our state has changed drastically in 15 years.
It's true. And yet, statistically, we're still pretty homogenous.
Yeah, thank goodness. Thank goodness. His name is John Steinman. We just broached the surface of most of this conversation. The Iowa legislature is going to be hearing a whole bag full of things from the Iowa Chamber Alliance and making sure that the business climate remains strong here in your community and in all of ours. Thank you, John, for coming in and talking to us.
Really appreciate the opportunity to talk.
John Steinman, ladies and gentlemen, it is called the Iowa Chamber Alliance. And no doubt your chamber is part of that group through one or the other major organization such as the Greater Des Moines Partnership. All right, we've got us clear on out of here. It's nigh on to 6 o'clock. That means, well, Tyler starts the music and that we've got to go. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the NewsHour, T.J. Riley, who was in with us earlier, John Steinman from the Iowa Chamber Alliance. Our producer is Tyler Hackenmiller. The voice of Insight on Business, the NewsHour, is, yeah, is Jimmy Olson. And, of course, the music that you're listening to right this moment was arranged, conducted, and produced by our friend James Goodlett. For all of us associated with the NewsHour, have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good night.